Support for WGTD's morning show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenoshans who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional morning show co-host. And we welcome you to the Wednesday Morning Show on WGTD HD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg, and it's always especially fun when we can be live on the air in our studios with the president of Gateway Technical College, Brian Albrecht. And we're going to be talking about a really exciting initiative here at Gateway that's been around for a little while and is undergoing some exciting changes, namely Gateway's Launch Box. And we'll be talking about that in just a moment and introducing two very special guests. But first, we welcome back President Brian Albrecht.
Good morning, Greg. What a beautiful morning it is, isn't it?
Absolutely gorgeous.
I noticed you mentioned we're live this morning. I always enjoy being here watching you perform all the magic of radio, watching all the buttons go live. So great to be here today.
And of course, we're without a net, so anything right. Anything unfortunate, everyone will hear, but hopefully all will go well. And it sounds like it was a very exciting graduation exercise, and that's always, of course, an especially exciting event, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is. And I want to start out by saying congratulations to all of the graduates throughout the regions that we serve, because there were so many great high school events this last weekend. And I'm very proud to always read the paper and hear the articles of what the students are doing and what they have planned for their futures. And it must be a great time for themselves and their entire families. You know, my wife Lisa is the principal over at West Osha Central High School. And that's an exciting time for us, because I know what it's like to make the transition from high school into the post-secondary arena. And for our graduates, just a real big shout out, because I'm so proud of the work that they do to help build not only capacity for themselves, but if they think forward toward their future and what they're doing to help support their families. This semester, we graduated over 850 students with their associate degree or diplomas, and another 300 with their GED, HSCD diplomas. So over 1,200 of our citizens left Gateway this last month with some level of certification or diploma, and they're ready for the workforce, and hopefully things are working out well for them.
Speaking of thinking ahead and working ahead, I know that one area of expansion that's occurring right now is with Gateway's Public Safety Training Center. Well, this is so exciting and so important.
Yeah, you probably saw the construction as you come into the campus every day. We're very fortunate that over the last 3 years, we've been working on helping to enhance and support the type of training we provide for first responders and public sector training programs. And we made a commitment a year ago to enhance our public service training, which would be our police officer training, our fire training, and our EMS training. And as we took a look at the development of fire and the expansion of the Hero Center and what we currently do for our EMS programs, just a tremendously powerful footprint we have for emergency medical services, not only programs at Gateway, but also in our high schools to help train young people. We knew that we needed to do something in the law enforcement area, so we made a commitment to build out a brand new shooting range for our officers, as well as a crime scene investigation lab, a tactical training center, and what we call a sim city, which is a simulation city. Currently, we use a house, and the officers get a chance to take control of situations in a real live setting like that. And we plan to be complete and ready to go this fall, so we're working very diligently over the summer to make sure all of the right pieces of that puzzle are put together. But it will enhance the Kenosha campus tremendously. But more importantly, it provides a point of a venue, a resource, if you will, for all municipalities, because Gateway does serve small towns, big cities throughout all of southeast Wisconsin. And we know with the innovation that's brought into this center, folks will be coming from throughout the whole region, through Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, to take a look at what we're doing in law enforcement.
You mentioned disaster response, and that actually brings to mind someone who I know you had great respect for, because you spoke about it in a news story, namely the former chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, Jack Keating. Dr. Keating's own field of academic expertise was involved with disaster response, and he was a real leader in that field in terms of working with folks who were involved in disaster response and also in people affected by disasters in sort of a firsthand way. So he comes to mind, and
yeah,
you probably...
No question, Greg. I mean, Jack was just such a community-based minded leader. not only here, but in all the communities that he served. But when I first came to the area, Jack took me under his wing, and you know, he was a mentor for me. He shared a lot about what the region of the Kenosha and Racine communities were all about, and some of the history, introduced me to a lot of his colleagues, and really brought me under his umbrella when he started working on the service learning initiatives throughout the state. And through Jack's leadership in UW Parkside, founded what's now called Wisconsin Campus Compact, and spread out through every college and university, public and private, throughout the region. Carthage still involved, Gateway and Parkside, to help students make that connection back to their community. And it happens in many ways, but usually it happens because of some crisis in a community. So it related well with what Jack was trying to help share with all of us. And I was so honored after his tenure with Campus Compact, he asked me to chair, so I got to follow his footsteps a little bit and really get close to him about why this was important and how we could leverage public entities like colleges to become more involved in community building.
Very good. Tell us about your recent trip to Atlanta.
Yeah, that was exciting. Last weekend, actually. You know, we're so honored in our community to be recognized for the leadership, not only in education, but also in community development. And well, I guess it was probably 10 years ago, I met Tim Mahone from the Mahone Fund. And Tim had asked me if I would get involved in a family foundation, try to help raise some funds for scholarships. And I was honored to do that. And this is my 10th year now as the chair of the Mahone Fund. And so last week, we were invited to Atlanta to receive a recognition award from the Mary Parker Foundation, another very large philanthropic foundation in the Atlanta area, doing similar work, trying to become community engaged in helping students become more aware of what their opportunities are beyond high school into post-secondary education. And so Catherine Marks, myself, Tim Mahone, and Artis Mahone went to Atlanta, received a special recognition award for community building, and really got to meet some great people and share our story with others that are trying to do the same type of work. And really, hopefully, that'll lead into a more collaborative effort, and we'll be able to share best practices and find linkages for students. And I was really amazed at the venue itself, but then I was really inspired because I had met three other people in Atlanta that used to live in Kenosha that now moved to Atlanta and were involved in the Mary Parker Foundation. So there was a connection to what we're doing here to the city of Atlanta. I was really proud of that.
Very good. Well, I don't know how you find time for golf in all that you are busy with, but of course it makes a difference when it's on behalf of the Kenosha Foundation.
I think if you ever saw me play golf, or if you had the other three that were in our foursome for the couple, you would know that I don't really play golf. But no.
You swing a club.
I swing a club. I carry them around for others, yes. Our college foundation held their annual golf outing. It was a beautiful day over at Hawksview in Lake Geneva, and we had a great turnout, thanks to everyone that always does such a great job of supporting Gateway and the fundraising activities. And you know, as you know, these efforts are critical because they help provide the funding mechanism for student scholarships, emergency grants, outreach programs that we provide for our community. And our foundation is really, really doing a great job of helping us build capacity in that way. And it actually provides a venue for us to bring on new donors and to create a broader story about Gateway. And I'm very just proud that not only the golf outing helped set that seed, but we spent earlier this week touring the Vet Science Program over at Elkhorn Campus with Laura and Matt Andes from the Andes Corporation in Racine, and I think they were inspired, and I know that they're going to continue to be great partners with us through our foundation. And another great friend, Thelma Mayer, came to visit the campus and has created an endowment fund for us. So whether it's a golf outing or a personal visit or a corporate visit, all of those entities are necessary to keep Gateway strong and to provide access and affordability for college students.
Very good. Well, you've brought two special guests with you today, and a really interesting topic that some of our listeners probably know a little bit about, but it's always great to return to this really exciting initiative known as the Launch Box.
I know, I get confused sometimes when I say Launch Box, you know, but it's really the Launch Box. And you're right, this is, you know, since I came to Gateway, and one of the reasons I chose to come to Gateway from Madison was because of the entrepreneurial activities that were taking place at this college. It is unique. There is a long history, over 100 years of innovation and entrepreneurship that built our communities, and Gateway has been involved in that throughout the decades. But no more importantly than maybe in the last 10 years or so, the last decade, in the starting of what was that then called our Cat Eye Initiative, and has built out into an entrepreneurship growth wheel initiative, programming and opportunities at the college, the launch of our Fab Lab initiative, and then ultimately what we now have as the Launch Box to really be the catalyst for community gathering around spurring innovation and entrepreneurial efforts that individuals might have. So it's a collaborative effort to connect all of those. And We work closely with other partners like the City of Racine and the County of Racine and others as well to help build some capacity. In this last 3 months or so, we began a transition of moving from a physical space on Main Street to the campus itself to create even more energy. And we have Talia Mendez with us today, who really leads that initiative for us. And she's been a remarkable addition to our programming because, as you'll hear today, what I think is Launchbox is just a small piece of what Launchbox really is. There's so much more to it. And then Stacia Thompson, who helps direct and lead all of those collaborative partnerships to help build capacity so that the Launchbox is successful at an individual level and at a community-based level.
Very good. So we're glad to have both of you with us. Stacia Thompson, you've been with us before. And my understanding is that you have actually some new responsibilities since the last time you were on the morning show. So tell us about your new role with the Business and Workforce Solutions Division of Gateway.
Sure. Well, again, thank you for having us this morning. We're so excited to be here. In my current role, I'm now the Program Director in the Division of Business and Workforce Solutions at the college. So my actual role is to provide oversight for development of programs that address workforce training, entrepreneurship, and professional business development offerings in our division.
So that's closely tied to what you're doing before, but kind of in an expanded format, it sounds like.
Yes, very much so.
Very good.
No small task. You know, Workforce Solutions is the new name for what used to be called Business and Workforce Development. So the customized training programs that we have, including programs that outreach to our K-12 schools, and what we're going to be having in the next couple of weeks, all of our summer camp activities, how all of that collaborates around helping young people see their future in our community, and then the alignment of those with workforce training needs. So a company might need specialized training, might be apprenticeship, or other types of services. And so Stacia's got a lot on her plate, including the Launchbox.
Very good.
As if
that in and of itself wasn't enough. Talia Mendez, we're meeting today for the very first time, and you also have, in a sense, a relatively new role here at Gateway as the Business Resource Specialist. So tell us about that and maybe a little bit about your own background that sort of has led you to that particular post.
Sure. Sure. Thanks again for having me. This is my first time on radio, so hope I can pull it off. Yes, it's a new position. I've been involved with Gateway for a number of years as a contractual consultant. I came on board full time as staff in January. With my main responsibility is to, of course, manage Launchbox, but also it's broader than that. It's providing entrepreneurial services district wide. My background is an entrepreneurial one. After starting and running my own business, which I sold in upstate New York, I was recruited by the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation and managed a business incubator in the heart of the city of Milwaukee for many, many years. I've really been embedded in this entrepreneurial ecosystem in southeastern Wisconsin for nearly 20 years, like I said, from the incubator in Milwaukee to Morocco, and working on one of Gateway's entrepreneurial initiatives there. So worldwide.
I think what's really exciting about it is, you know, there is a basic template for entrepreneurs that, you know, really help provide some guidance. But ultimately, every single entrepreneur has a different strategy and a different way that they're going to try to achieve success. And so you actually need to be a really big utility player and have a lot of resources at your fingertips to be able to help align and really guide people to where they can best meet the needs of their particular idea that they have.
Absolutely.
So, Talia, I'm just curious, this incubator you worked for in Milwaukee, how closely would that resemble, for instance, the Launchbox at Gateway? Is it essentially the same sort of thing?
No, when it comes to providing services and advisory services, that's certainly, like Brian said, you know, is very different from entrepreneur to entrepreneur. So that's your common thread. But that was a physical space made up of 15 individual offices. Launchbox is a co-working space. This is it's an open, collaborative, creative environment. And it's something that in our industry of business development and entrepreneurship, huge growth. from 2 years ago, we've had a 400% growth in co-working spaces nationally.
Wow.
And so, you know, we're kind of, you know, we're right at the forefront of that.
I think, so in my readings, communities that are really trying to grow and attract the new age worker, if you will, mm-hmm. the idea of a launch box or some level of accelerator is really important. And I think about some of the communities that I visited, and Austin, Texas being one. We were at the University of Arizona. They have a big program there. A lot of them are kind of guided around college town type environments. But it is one of those unique amenities that a community should look at if they really want to attract mm-hmm. new workers and really help to redevelop a community.
Mm. Absolutely, yeah.
For those of you just joining us, this is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, to the morning show. And with him today, two Gateway staff members, Stacia Thompson and Talia Mendez, both heavily involved in the launch box here at Gateway. Stacia, we mentioned that you were with Gateway's Business and Workforce Solutions Division. That is a big term, and it probably encapsulates a whole lot of different things. Break that down for us with some of the specific programs that you actually directly oversee.
Sure. For those of you, some may know this division formally as the Workforce and Economic Development Division. About a little over, I guess, 2 years ago is when the transition went to the new name, which is Business and Workforce Solutions. In our division, we do, under our umbrella, is apprenticeship, customized training, contract for service training, as well as many people have heard of the boot camps that are going around in our three communities. So some of my actual responsibility is I have oversight for those boot camps. We currently offer CNC boot camp. We do a high school CNC boot camp. We have a telecom cabling boot camp. We just had a class graduate from that. And then we're also in the process of incorporating some new boot camps. We're in the process of developing two new boot camps, one for customer service, call center type training, and then one for assembly. We also do some specialized training. So we do a certified logistics training, which is a short-term two-week training in the certified logistics arena. Along with that, we also have our fab lab. So that's kind of our makerspace, 3D printing lab. You can go in there and do engraving, 3D printing, some prototyping, things of that nature. And then we also, of course, have the launch box where our business resource specialist offers her services.
You know, every service you mentioned is unique, and I think provides a great avenue of opportunity for our community. As I think about the way, especially the Kenosha community is developing, logistics, transportation, telecommunications, and all of the types of companies that are developing, especially up by the interstate, what a great service that Gateway Pride provides to have those services available, whether it's a call center specialist or it's a logistics specialist. They're all opportunities that we provide. Yesterday I was at the Fab Lab just trying to figure out what the heck they were doing, because I was looking through the window and they had an entire rib cage that was being 3D printed by the biomedical engineering students so that they could get a real live feel for what a rib cage is. And then on the next table over, they had printed out a human heart. So they were putting together these prototypes so that the nursing students and the biomedical engineering students could actually hold this product that they probably would never get a chance to do before. So whether it's a prototype for a company or a prototype for a learning environment, I think that's really unique that under your division, all of those services are available to our community.
Right. Stacia Thompson, of course, a lot of what you do involves needs out in the business world, and in particular when there is a shortage of trained workers for a given task, or when a given set of workers need to acquire a new skill or hone those skills, maybe bring them up to date. How do you determine what choices to make in terms of what to focus on, what particular shortages Gateway is in the best position to address? I mean, it sounds like a complicated challenge right there.
Yeah, you said a mouthful right there. actually, all of our offerings are based on local and regional economic and labor market data. We work very closely not only with our industry partners, as well as the Southeast Wisconsin Investment Board, Racine County Workforce, Walworth County Workforce, and Kenosha County Workforce. So we actually meet with them on a regular basis, are always in constant communication. And if they see something that's a need, we will meet and discuss, you know, if they see a spike in a particular industry saying that there's a lot of job openings or there's a shortage of people being able to fill those job openings, then that's where the discussion starts and we meet to say, what can we do to help fill those needs or what can we do to help train people in that area and get them back into the workforce faster?
That's really a good point, because sometimes when you're doing this every day, you forget about how important it is to have those collaborative efforts and supporting organizations. Our CEDC's office is actually located in the SC Johnson IMET Center, so it's kind of a natural progression. We're on the same team. Same with workforce development. Many of our staff and workforce development staff are meeting regularly, daily if not weekly for sure, to help align the services and make it easier for students. In Walworth County, the Workforce Development Center is located on the Elkhorn campus of Gateway, so even individuals can kind of see the transition points. You know, training is necessary to sustain my job, and workforce can help link to a job and draw back training. So it's kind of this whole circle of events that need to happen in order for someone to be successful in getting that job and then holding that job over time.
And we actually work collaboratively with those workforce development centers. They are part of the recruiting process for some of our training programs, for our boot camps. The actual interview process, as we call it, for the boot camp starts with the workforce development staff. So they help with the marketing, with recruiting students for the particular boot camps. They actually have to go through an interview process with a workforce development boot camp coordinator to make sure that they are a correct fit for the boot camp and that they're going to be successful in the boot camp. So then we work collaboratively with them and also to offer soft skills during that training. So the individuals that are going through our specialized trainings and our boot camps, they're not only receiving the academic side or the technical side, they're also receiving those life skills to make sure that they're going to be a successful employee, not just a not just learn the technical skill in order to get the job.
Can you give an example of a couple of those soft skills that are part of this?
So right away, some of the first courses that they have that are blended into their training is effective communication, resume writing, interviewing skills. Our employers are also very heavily embedded into the programming. For instance, within our telecom and our CNC boot camp, employers actually come and do mock interviews with the students. So it's for the employers, it's kind of a win-win because they actually get a first chance hand at some of these potential employees of the graduates. So they actually come and sit and do mock interviews with the students. We offer them resume books so they can see the resume of those students and then potentially hire them on at the end of graduation.
Well, I see, but the most direct purpose for that is to help these people learn how to be effective in an interview, learn how to
put
their resumes together. So there's this ancillary benefit for business people who come in then.
It takes practice. It takes practice. You know, if it's your first interview, a formal interview based on some skills you've learned, you want to be able to try to communicate that in an effective way. And even if you've been through interviews several times, the process has changed today. You know, their employers have different methodologies to do their background checking and how do you prepare, whether it's a social media application or some of them actually now have video interviews or Skype interviews. And, you know, all of those technologies play into a different message that you need to send.
Interesting.
We even do shadow opportunities for instance, in our last telecom, we actually set up a shadow day where the students got to see what they were learning in the lab setting and actually go to a company and shadow for an entire day to see, okay, this is what it's really like out in the working world, but this is what it's going to be like when I become employed and work in this venue.
And how often would you say when a need is brought to your attention that needs to be addressed by someone, is it very often that Gateway says, I don't think we can help you with that, but good luck, and you need to go someplace else, or just about always?
I'm not allowed
to say that.
What I can say, I've been in this role since November, and one of the opportunities that I'm working on right now is the customer service boot camp, and that was something that was brought to us by Workforce, saying we've seen a spike in the need for customer service agents, especially in a call center environment. So the first thing we did was look at what we offer, look what maybe some of our other technical college brothers and sisters are offering. I actually went to another college and viewed their program, looked at our curriculums and seen what's being offered internally already at Gateway and saying, okay, this is what we can offer. And then we had an employer meeting asking the employers what they would like to see in that training to make sure that what we're offering is going to actually get someone hired.
I think what Stacia was going to say is she's not allowed to say no.
Right.
So actually every employee at Gateway, every employee goes through customer service training. And so no is not the appropriate answer. It's how can we assist you and find the resources, whether it's through Gateway, through a community organization, or another partner engineering college or university, there are resources that we can help align and collaborate and connect with. So along with customer service training, every employee also goes through Lean Six Sigma training at Gateway. So we're all about continuous improvement. So rather than saying we can't do something, let's find a way to improve our strategies here to make sure that that service is available for our community.
Right. And I suppose, you know, this is a good example of how things shift, that this customer service component to a lot of companies, many companies were making the decision for financial reasons to farm that overseas. And now there's all kinds of indications that many companies are deciding that's maybe not necessarily the best thing to do. And so a lot of companies are wanting to internalize that, make that here or localize that. And suddenly there's going to be this need for many more workers in that field alone.
Yes, and that's the entire reason that it was brought to us. And it started with a conversation and then saying, well, what can we do to get people into that, get people trained adequately and get them into the workforce and give them the training that the employer is going to want. So we can think, you know, it is what one thing, but until you actually hear from the employers and those that are looking for these employees, then we can move forward with it.
Very good. Talia Mendez, we should talk specifically about the Launchbox, and we probably should make sure that our listeners who have no affiliation with Gateway really understand what we're talking about what the Launchbox actually is, and maybe also highlight some ways in which maybe Launchbox is fairly unique compared to maybe similar sorts of offerings in other communities.
Sure. First of all, let me explain. It's a very easy answer. A co-working space is basically the alternative to working out of your home or the coffee shop. Hmm. And guess what? You don't have to ask a total stranger to watch your laptop while you go and use the restroom. Because everybody knows everybody. You know, it's an actual space. We have a counter space overlooking the lake where you could sit. We've got a few individual desks where you can sit. And then we also have this, you know, creative hub-like space where you could sit. So you come in and you're with like-minded people. You're, you know, the person who's, you know, sitting at the counter is also an entrepreneur. So it's like people, you know, going through the same struggles. I think what's innovative about our program and what maybe makes us a little, you know, unique to some of the other co-working spaces in the area is, especially now because we've moved onto campus, is the connection with the students and the faculty. We've only been in there now a couple of weeks. And I've already done, I do monthly lunch and learns. And we just had a faculty member come and talk about the Biz Squad. Actually, we call it the Lunch and Learn. You know, what can Gateway students do for you and your business? I had 13 members. I mean, we were exploding in the room. Mm. And our members were so excited, and every, you know, they'd like raise their hand and say, well, could one of your students help me with this? Yes. Could one of my students help me with an app? Yes. Could one of your mm-hmm. students help me with a website? Yes. Can one of your students help with business writing? And yeah. There were no no's. and the faculty member who was representing Biz Squad, she's so excited because, you know, she said there have been times where they've been struggling, where they've been looking for projects that their students can work on. This program is a semester long, and, you know, there will be no shortage of projects. Mm.
That's part of the exciting part about, I think, bringing it to campus is not only do we have students that are entrepreneurs because they have great ideas and they're learning skills and they want to leverage that. It might be in cosmetology, starting their own business, or automotive, working on their own repair shop. And there are many students with just great ideas in the machining area that want to prototype a project that they've been working on for a long time in their garage. The Launchbox concept can connect that with additional resources, and now connecting it with our entrepreneurial programs at Gateway, the expertise of the faculty and the student kind of capacity of applied learning, which is what Gateway's all about. How do we take knowledge and skills and apply it, whether it's in a lab setting or, in this case, a real-world solution provider? Mm-hmm. Those are things that help students really see their future because they're doing a project that's adding value to their community but also to their career path.
Mm-hmm. So this is, although primarily designed, I should think, with entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs, but this is also something that can be of really direct benefit to Gateway students and even faculty, for that matter, too.
Absolutely. When you look at, it's interesting, I mean, I was having a conversation with Mike O'Donnell about the veterinary certificate, and we started brainstorming what were some, you know, what could be a potential idea. In my, you know, my part of town that I live in, there's a dog groomer, and she's been there for 7 or 8 years. I mean, this is obviously a good business. So I look at Gateway programs. I mean, obvious ones, you know, barbering and cosmetology, culinary. I actually brought the catalog home, and I'm starting to put post-it notes like, that's a business. That's a potential business. That's a potential business. So, yeah. And then also bringing together people in the community, you know, people who've been in business. I think it's important that students, you know, that they see that. You know, these could be potential mentors. So my goal is that, you know, we just completely mix it up. You know, students, faculty, community.
Yeah, I love that. Every business started somewhere, right? It was usually one person and an idea, and then they collaborated with others like-minded. And pretty soon we have some of these just tremendously important assets in our community called Modine, SC Johnson, Twin Disc, Snap-on, you know, Jockey. And so, but they all started at some point, and we're helping to foster the next generation of companies.
Right. Yeah. And so part of what you're saying is this is a place, so unlike, for instance, Panera or Starbucks, which exists mostly to sell food and drink and so on, and you happen to have people that will pull up a chair and use their Wi-Fi and try to conduct some business with something they're trying to launch, this is about a space which is designed for exactly that kind of thing, and everybody there is, in a sense, aspiring to create the same sort of thing, and they can, in a sense, work together, share together.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I was a contractual consultant for Gateway for I think like 5 years, wasn't it? And there were times where, you know, although I had a desk at Gateway, there were times where, you know, I didn't want to do the drive, and I would go to the local coffee shop. I'll admit, I am a terrible stay-at-home worker. I am just way too scattered, and, you know, let me do this now, and, you know, throw in a load of laundry. No, you can't focus 100%. And unfortunately, I think it's more true for women, that you just can't focus 100% on your business when you're working out of your home. Mm. And so I would go to, you know, Colectivo, and I was in there one day, and I'm trying to finish a grant, and it must have been a day off at school because there were just a bunch of, you know, stay-at-home moms with their kids running all over the place. And I was like, come on, don't you guys realize I've got work to do?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, so it really is it's a good alternative.
Yeah, a great environment designed for this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then I would just add that even at Gateway you can get coffee or donuts because it's located on the Racine campus, which is the home of our culinary program and other services like our library, our international education program, our adult learning centers, our computer centers there, our assessment centers. So there are lots of additional supporting venues that can help enhance the types of needs that an entrepreneurial might have.
Very good. And Talia, we should Stacia, we should ask about some of the programs that are under your purview that probably have some interaction with Launchbox.
Well, sure. Everything that Launchbox does, as well as everything else we do in business and workforce solutions, I would like to say all the programs do complement each other. For instance, with our Fab Lab, our Makerspace, there may be someone that Talia works with that has a prototype that they'd like to work through. Now, could they pay the thousands of dollars to hire an engineer to do that for them, or could they take the Fab Lab workshop and then maybe go work on the prototype themselves? I would say the latter. It would save them money, and then what better way to get a hands-on experience, and you know who knows your product better than yourself, to work on that prototype? Then there's also the engineering programs that are in the SCJ IMET business SCJ IMET Center that some of the engineering students, as Brian shared, you know, he went in yesterday and they are working on making their simulations of the heart and different items. Some of them have an idea, and it starts with that idea. They maybe speak to someone in the Fab Lab and say, you know what, I have this idea and I'd like to do this. Well, then the Fab Lab can then refer them to Talia, and she can help them work through that idea as well. Mm. And everything, as we shared, all these businesses or ideas or inventions start with an idea. So no matter whom they talk to within the Gateway system, whether it be on the academic side or within Business and Workforce Solutions or with a Fab Lab member or with a Launchbox member or with Talia, it all starts with that idea, and then all these individuals can be referred to the various services and then be supported all the way through. Because not only is Talia a resource as a business resource specialist, but also within our Business Resource Center and the SCJ IMET Center, we have partners with SBDC and SCORE who they actually have office hours in our building a couple times a week.
Hmm. So there's all these different avenues by which somebody can be supported and get the help they need.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest challenge of being an entrepreneur is finding the resources that are available. Hmm. And if you can have a collection point, like in this case Gateway's Launchbox, well, you can shorten your experience, cost, time to market, anything like that, because one or two people can really open a lot of doors for you, as opposed to you going around knocking on every door trying to find it.
Chasing all over town.
Right, right.
Yeah. We should find out also about when it comes to the idea of just ideas. I think some people think that all ideas are about something brand new that never existed before. And, of course, probably the longer you work with aspiring entrepreneurs, the more you realize, Talia, that a lot of times it's about taking something that's already here, a good idea that already exists, but giving it a twist or taking it to the next level.
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, as far as Stacia mentioned, you know, if it's a product, I mean, I would certainly refer that person to Greg Herker at the Fab Lab. But sometimes I could be working with an entrepreneur and an artist in downtown Elkhorn that I'm working with. She is a glass artist. And we were talking about sort of her revenue model and how can she expand, how can she bring in more revenue. And I said, well, have you ever thought about also having, renting kiln time or, you know, having a wholesale side of your business? You know, people are coming in and, you know, you're teaching them, you're doing classes, but are you also, you know, renting kiln time and are you selling them the products? So now suddenly we've just created two additional revenue streams for her business. So yeah, and it was easy to get her there, but she just needed, you know, to sort of start the conversation to, you know, discover these.
Hmm. By the way, how much is what you offer tied specifically to the Gateway campus, or are there ways in which what you do gets sort of geographically taken mm-hmm. out into the community as well?
So we, over a year ago, we started looking at how we could expand our entrepreneurial footprint in Walworth County. And so, you know, we've got a strong partnership with WSEDA, with the business workforce, with the workforce group. I actually just went and met with their Dynamic Futures class, which was young people looking at entrepreneurship. I do monthly drop-in hours on campus. And I actually just walked, you know, one day I walked around downtown, you know, I called it my walkabout and just introduced myself to people on, you know, sort of on the square in downtown Elkhorn. That's how I met this artist. And now she comes to me every month.
Wow.
we do like a 1 hour advisory session. And so I certainly hope to expand upon that. I'm district wide. I'll go anywhere.
The actual physical space of the Launchbox was probably the last piece of the puzzle that we've put in place, because the services are what's so powerful and important. Whether it's Growth Wheel services or customized training to big companies in our community trying to launch a new product, or, you know, the R&D side of using some of the expertise. We just recently ran a 3D printing workshop over at Snap-on to help show other companies how additive manufacturing is really the way of the future. And so it's a collaborative effort of collecting, making sure that as we think of Gateway as a facility, as much as about a service to our community. Mm.
I know something very exciting was recently announced about Gateway's Launchbox.
Yes, I want Talia to really describe this, but the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation just announced this week that the Launchbox will be the host for an accelerator grant program, and very proud of that because it is the catalyst for any entrepreneur. How do we get the money to get started, right?
Yes. So we did this a year ago. Typically, an accelerator will have five teams, and teams can be a team of one. But so five businesses are going to go through this 12-week program. We're going to kick this off in September, and at the close of the program, these five businesses will receive a seed grant of $2,500. But more importantly is what they're learning. And they're learning this in a collaborative environment, a peer-to-peer environment. Again, it's that idea of we're all in this together. We're all, us individual entrepreneurs, we need each other. So we just heard. We're very excited. And what I'm really excited about is in comparison to the last accelerator, we've doubled the capacity. So instead of just having five individuals go through this program or five teams, we're going to do 10. So doubling. And I've already started meetings. I'm already getting referrals. Again, because we're on campus, I met with a student yesterday. I'm meeting with another one on Friday. So these are Gateway students. So when I talked about that mashup, so for the accelerator, I want a third of them, members, a third of them students. And of course, because of our partnership with the city of Racine, I'm also going to focus on trying to recruit some entrepreneurs that are from the city.
Fantastic.
It's remarkable to be able to provide all the services, but then when you think about collaborating with grant programs or other communities to help bring greater awareness, recently we hosted the Milwaukee Entrepreneurial Network over in the Racine area. A lot of people came down for the first time to experience Racine. First of all, didn't know the innovation that was taking place there, but now hopefully extending in collaborations because there are resources in Milwaukee that could benefit entrepreneurs in Racine as well. So it takes a village, right? it takes a lot of resources to build capacity to grow any startup company.
Yeah. Astacia Thompson, tell us about some of the creative programs that you have lined up for the summer.
Oh my, where do we start? when you work in higher education or education alone, people always think, oh, it's the summer, you have off now, and that's just the total opposite truth.
Not a gateway.
I think our summer is just as busy, if not busier. So this summer we have in July, we're actually finishing up the recruitment process now to begin our high school CNC boot camp. So this is where a rising high school senior can actually start their CNC training during the summer of their senior year. They would start in July, and then this training would continue on through the school year. So they would go to school in the morning and then come and receive CNC training after school. Within that program, essentially, a student would graduate from high school and their CNC introductory training at the same time. So they would graduate from high school as well as have this training available to start and go work full-time as a CNC operator upon high school graduation. So we have that starting out in Elkhorn as well as on the Racine campus. We also have our Fab Lab camps. So we have three summer camps going on for youth and our Fab Lab makerspace in which youth will be able to come participate. Do some hands-on activities and find out what the makerspace, how to do some 3D printing activities. We actually have on the 16th, we have an exciting event going on. It'll be the Maker Girls. The Maker Girls are a group of young ladies from the University of Illinois, all engineering students, and all just recently graduated in May. Well, they've created some programming around getting young ladies interested in engineering and to hold their interest in engineering past middle school, which is usually when young ladies drop off as being interested in the sciences. So they're going to be doing a United States tour, and their tour is actually, and they have a van, and their tour is actually going to kick off here at Gateway.
Wow.
So that'll be happening June 16th. We have a group of young ladies from the Tyler Domer Center that'll be coming and participating in some activities with them and doing some of their hands-on programming that they've created for young ladies, as well as then that programming will continue in the afternoon out on the Elkhorn campus. We also have recently started offering some horticulture workshops with Kate Jerome, a horticulture instructor here at Gateway. So she's going to be doing a series of horticulture workshops. She's done one already, which was Container Garden. The class was full. It was an awesome experience. So now she has a series that she'll be doing. The next one is on Tuesday, which is Kitchen Garden. There's still room in that class. And the way she described that class is that what she does with her kitchen garden, it sits right outside her back door, and it's vegetables that she uses that she would cook with every day. So if you go to training.gtc.edu, you can see all those offerings that will be offered in her next few series. Then we've also got a new partnership with the Digital Manufacturing Design Innovation Institute out of Chicago. So we're going to be working on creating some programming with them as well and some trainings in that arena.
Wow.
Pretty exciting. You know, all of those great activities taking place. So we do a lot of teacher professional development. I estimate over 200 teachers from around the country will be here this summer going through training at Gateway and certification and industry partnerships. And it's really a remarkable environment in the summer, and I encourage all of our listeners to stop by.
Very good. We have to kind of rush through a couple of last important questions. Talia, maybe in a minute or so, any advice
okay,
that you have about anybody who's thinking about starting their own business?
Okay. First of all, I would suggest that they look at themselves. The obvious ones is, you know, expertise and access to capital, and make sure that they've really done a very comprehensive market assessment. In addition, and almost more importantly, is do they have the passion, do they have the time, and do they have the energy? Because running your own business takes more than 40 hours a week.
You better believe it and better be there ready for the long haul, yeah. Whatever that might be.
The people on Shark Tank on TV have spent a lot of time preparing for that, so it doesn't just happen by a TV show.
Right. No, there's nothing magical about it. If people want to know more about Launchbox, how's the best way to get information?
Well, first of all, tonight's our grand opening, so
right.
I hope that people will stop by. We're on the lakeside lower level of the Racine building overlooking the lake and the skate park. Very easy to find once you figure out that you take 6th or 11th Street all the way to the lake and then park. That's tonight from 4 to 6. But, of course, email mendezt@gtc.edu, our website, which I'm embarrassed to say we're still updating. This move was, you know, pretty quick. But certainly can also pick up the phone, give me a call, or stop by. I'm there every Tuesday and Friday.
Very good. And Stacia, if people want more information about business and workforce solutions.
Oh, that's an easy one. It's www.gtc.edu, and right on the Gateway homepage, you can click on Business Solutions, and it'll take you to all of our programming.
There you go. Well, that sounds pretty easy. Well, it's been a wonderful, busy, wonderful hour with Stacia Thompson and Talia Mendez. We applaud all the great things that you're doing on behalf of so many people here at Gateway and in the community. And wish you well with all of the exciting things that you are doing and continuing to do here at Gateway.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Brian Albrecht, you're beaming ear to ear. I mean, for very good reasons. That has to make you feel really good.
I couldn't be more proud of these two women and all of the work that our teams and faculty are doing. Gateway's a remarkable resource for our community. So thank you, Greg.
Absolutely. President Brian Albrecht, always great to have you here. We'll look forward to seeing you sometime in July.
That's right. Thank you.
Tomorrow on The Morning Show, Nan Calvert and a representative of the Geneva Lake Conservancy. And on Friday, we will replay in memory of Jack Keating his last morning show visit. The Morning Show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. You'll find it archived at our website, wgtd.org. Support for WGTD's Morning Show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenosians who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional morning show.